Greetings, good listeners. I'm storyteller and spell weaver, Shanga Tagore, and you are tuning in to my divination channel. Welcome to Otherworldly Giants. We are rolling through Season 2 in the Ancestors Writer's Room. Today, I want to drop in another writer-director commentary called Decolonizing the Dream World. Dream analysis versus unlocking ancestral dreaming. When I write and share stories in this podcast drama, and when I provide commentary on the ancestral teachings embedded in the stories that I share, I'm utilizing the signature technology we use here at Otherworldly Giants called open heart surgery storytelling. Foundational to this technology is my work as an ancestral dreamer, and my practice of unlocking ancestral dreaming. So today I wanted to share my perspective on exactly what that means and how is unlocking ancestral dreaming different than dream analysis or dream interpretation. In the process, we are having a larger conversation about how we decolonize the way we think about and approach our dreams. Decolonizing dreaming means understanding that so much of our culture around what we know of dream analysis can be traced to lineages of Western psychotherapy, which then can be traced to lineages of thought created by white men who were part of a larger movement designed to witch hunt our indigenous, ancestral, earth-based, multiversal wisdom traditions. The witch-hunting colonization has created a long-standing pattern of going into indigenous wisdom traditions, stealing parts of that wisdom, watering it down, psychologically and spiritually twisting it around, and selling that wisdom back to us in ways that keep us subordinate. Over time, they created an incredibly strong cultural and energetic force field, a shell, a grid, around this stolen and corrupted version of our magic. They named themselves as the leaders, the origins, the fathers of traditions, such as the fathers of psychotherapy, the fathers of dream interpretation. They achieved accolades, awards, public recognition. They were championed throughout generations, and slowly the full-bodied understanding of our dream world and our relationship to it was more and more forgotten. Thus, the work of unlocking ancestral dreaming is about retrieval, reclamation, and remembering. This energetic grid of how we understand dream interpretation has infiltrated into so much of our public consciousness that it's the way we intuitively approach how to understand our dreams. We have a dream, we wake up, and our first thought is, "Whoa, that was weird. What does that mean? Now I'm Googling, what does it mean to dream about broken eggshells? Now I'm on the internet searching for answers. How do I psychoanalyze the symbols, stories, and characters that I dream about in order to psychoanalyze me?" Okay, Google. Broken eggshells. Okay. Oh, found something. Okay, it says, if you dream about broken eggshells, it means that you could be suffering from anxiety. Okay. Yeah, I'm anxious. Wait, what am I anxious about? More Googling. Okay, what am I anxious about? Ah, here it is. I'm anxious about new beginnings and endings. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Cool. Going back to my day now. What is that, right? Like you wake up from a dream and you're like, oh my God, what does it mean? It's driving me crazy. Then you Google something, it gives you an answer, and you're like, oh, cool, I feel better now, I think. I can move on with my life at least. See how this culture around dream analysis shuts things down rather than opens things up? We're taught to look for answers, to explain ourselves to ourselves. And once we find our answer, the burning desire toward curiosity just sort of dissipates. Or we have a dream that is just so huge and wild with so many things going on, layers upon layers, that we don't even know where to start. So we just forget about it and let it go. When we do that, We're sitting on our wealth. We just received a wealth of ancestral wisdom sent to us directly via our dream world, and we didn't know what to do with it, so we just turned away. Unlocking ancestral dreaming, this technique that we use as part of open heart surgery storytelling, it gives us a way in. It offers a technology to open up the ancestral teachings, the ancient and modern day wisdom, the collective divination, the holistic healing that we find in our dreams, our daydreams, our sleep dreams, our most heartfelt and sincere dreams for our lives and our global futures. Energetic surgery is not about just opening it up, it's also about seeking to repair. Sometimes there are answers, but not always. But it will always illuminate direction, always give guidance, always move us toward healing, repair, and remembering. In ancestral dreaming, we don't look at our dreams as mere symbols for real life. We regard our dream world as another place where our life is happening. It's another dimension of reality in our multidimensional way of experiencing life. Yes, there's a way of looking at the symbols, doing a systems analysis of all the data, exploring different interpretations of meaning, in the same way we can do that with signs and symbols around us all the time. But here we're looking at the entire dreamscape as an altar and treating it with such reverence. Just like we can treat our whole entire life as an altar. Here, we're looking at our dream self as a version of us that has a unique way of communicating, that will experience their world in a particular way, and that will relay information back to our holistic body in a language that makes sense to them. In other words, your dream self is speaking to you in your ancestral tongue. I don't just mean language, like for me, English versus Bengali. I mean your dream world is speaking to you in the language of ceremony. Yes, the same ancestral, earth-based, multiversal ceremony that was genocided out of how we understand and approach our dreams by these modern-day fathers of Western psychotherapy and dream interpretation. So, when I wake up from a dream about broken eggshells, it means there is some place in my life, some place in my quantum energy field, some place on my collective altar where there are broken eggshells. Those eggshells have a story. They are sitting somewhere intentionally. They have medicine. They have questions and answers, and most importantly, they have a life. They are a sovereign presence, and they are also a part of me. To unlock my ancestral dreaming, I might say to myself, okay, let me just sit with those eggshells. Where are they? I see them sitting in a wide open field, yellow grass stained from a hard winter and recently melted snow. I see a soft wind gently rocking them back and forth. I feel them as survivors. I feel their aliveness in ways that their aliveness was not guaranteed. You see that in order to interpret their message, I utilize my unique ancestral communication technologies. In other words, my unique way of quantum whispering, including clairvoyance, clairsentience, and claircognizance. I'm looking at those eggs with my third eye. I'm seeing the setting around them. I'm also feeling in my body, clairsentience, how they felt in my dream. The immediate moment that I felt the emotions, I knew I just had a knowing that they were survivors. They survived something that wasn't guaranteed. That's claircognizance. When you hear, see, feel, remember something, and you just know it. You just know the truth in your bones. This is the difference between give me the answer of dream analysis and how can I figure myself out of pop psychoanalysis versus can I sit in good relationship with this part of me, with this part of my world, with this land that I'm honored to respect and steward. Instead of trying to figure myself out, let me inquire into this dimension of my holistic body and ask questions. Let me listen for the purpose of gaining a deeper connection with myself, a stronger understanding of my life in relationship to the life around me. What do these broken eggshells mean to me? Now, let's bring in some interpretation. Okay, well, I have a long-standing ceremonial relationship with eggs. Magical people in my lineage have used eggshells for divination and ritual for generations. I myself did a huge collective ritual with eggs a few years ago, planting seeds for my 12 foundational relationship principles for the new paradigm. Because I have this ceremonial established relationships, I know that if I'm seeing eggshells in my dream, it's a big deal. So one interpretation is that the ritual I performed in 2021 is coming full circle, breaking open, and coming to life. This might be my ancestors giving me another confirmation among many, many confirmations I've been receiving that it's just time. It's time now to start experiencing the physical reality of the prayer, the dream, the seeds that I/we have been planting. I also know that when you divine with eggshells, they are profound protectors. This could also be saying, with the broken eggshells, that my old protection mechanisms in intimacy and relationship have officially been dismantled, broken open. It's time to experience new love and new ways of being close to people again. See how this dream is unlocking and unfolding from the last two podcast episodes I released? In one of our previous episodes called Don't Touch Me, we listened to a story about two people, Gemini and Aries, who are learning to fall in love again after lifetimes of trauma, hard lessons, and ugly truths that they earned through their spiritual journey. These are two people who are survivors, and probably whose survival was never guaranteed, but here they are, little hatchlings, very seasoned and also innocent. A true blank slate in front of them after a cold, hard winter. Having to confront those old protection mechanisms in intimacy and relationships that probably kept them alive without any exaggeration. But they realize that what it will take to love each other and to get to experience their prayers of love in full bloom, in the 3D, in physical reality, they do have to let those old protection mechanisms break. They do have to let each other break each other's rules. What's amazing about unlocking ancestral dreaming? The egg in my dream is telling me that this sweet, seemingly inconsequential love story between myself and my future partner is not just about me. It's also about an egg. It's about the sweet life and death of a sovereign egg that is equally precious and sacred to the world just as any other human life. And if it's about an egg, it's also about everyone's relationship to that egg, everyone's relationship to the seed, to the prayer, to the dream that is a protector, that is a survivor, that is alive, today, awake, seasoned, and innocent after a long, hard winter. I bet many of you listening to this will have a story of your own that sounds similar to what I just said. That these broken eggshells might not just be in my dream world, but in yours as well. Ancestral dreaming shows us the reality of our collective dreaming. That maybe these eggshells are sitting somewhere in quantum time, on our collective global altar that we all have access to. What a Western colonized culture of psychoanalytic dream analysis teaches us is, one, that our dreams must be wholly individualistic.
Okay, what in the frilly heck is going on?
Maybe we dreamed it.
Right. Wrong. Different brains.
Oh, yeah.
And also that we must look for rationality inside why we dream the things that we dream. Oh, I must have dreamt about broken eggshells because I had eaten eggs before bed. Okay, that makes sense. oh, I must have dreamt about rainbow iridescent flying dinosaurs because I just rewatched Jurassic Park two nights ago. Look, I'm not saying that there's no connection. I'm not saying to never take into consideration a psychological or practical interpretation of why we dream the things we dream. But I want to look deeper into the energetic subtext behind our intuitive, knee-jerk reaction to explain our dreams with some kind of rational explanation. The kind of energy I hear talking behind this thinking is saying, "Don't worry, I'm not crazy. It's a panic, something wild and mysterious and otherworldly is happening. Let me soothe my nervous system by offering myself an explanation that confirms normality, or in other words, an explanation that fits nicely into a paradigm that magic was genocided out of." In a witch-hunting world, we are taught to view our ancestral selves, our magic, our amazing awakening and growing abilities to communicate across worlds, access collective quantum ceremony via the dream world, is to look for rational answers to convince ourselves and others that we're not crazy. Sure, there's a level of self-judgment, skepticism, disbelief that all of us are learning to decolonize from in order to welcome and embrace more of our personal magic. Personally, I don't have much of a problem with believing in the mystery of the universe and how wild it can get. My impulse, as with many of us, to explain things rationally comes from both the fear and current lived reality of being persecuted because others think that I'm crazy just for being who I am. And that the consequences of others thinking that I'm crazy is not innocuous, is not fluffy. It actually has real, serious consequences on my life in certain circumstances. This is tied to lineages of queer and trans people having to convince people in positions of authority, including therapists and medical professionals, that we're not crazy for how we experience our gender and sexuality, for who we love, and the kinds of intimacy we want to experience. We panic to find the rational explanation because we've literally been witch-hunted through things like fucking conversion therapy, religious indoctrination, community outcasting, ostracization, whisper campaigns, ruining of reputation amongst the families and communities that are supposed to protect us, that we rely on for our basic needs, while also dealing with the very scary witch hunting that comes through government legislation, banning us from ceremony, banning us from gender-affirming healthcare, banning us from accessing life-saving resources, which, of course, rages on to this day. So, our fear of being seen for who we are is not some olden days buried witch hunt wound. We're facing real life and death consequences today. For many of us, therapy rooms are not safe places. We do need support. We do need care. And sometimes we do need that one-on-one model of back and forth counseling or coaching or therapy. But we need it with people who actually support us and respect us, where we don't have to spend the entire session trying to convince someone that we're not crazy because we're presenting ourselves in a way that doesn't align with their perception of reality or rationality. This kind of thing has been infiltrated into queer and trans communities. Yes, we experience it from the outside world, but we also do it to each other. I myself have experienced the queer community, whatever that means, as less and less of a safe place, the more that I have awakened further into my magic. We have a big problem in queer and justice-oriented communities with, well, magic. We have a witch-hunting problem that, by and large, many people don't want to deal with. We look at how fucked up some spiritual communities can be, how unethical, and it gives us further confirmation that everyone talking about our starseed histories or engaging in deep, powerful rituals cannot be trusted. we've gotten a little bit better about valuing healing, talking about self-care, the need to heal our relationship patterns, but we're not allowed to be too magical, we're not allowed to be too crazy. I know from personal experience the witch hunting that comes at you when you dare to push the bounds and break the rules of certain kinds of rationality. And this is just the way it is that we've come to accept about what's normal or what's real. There's a larger multiverse history that I have been studying about how did this happen? How did this rift, this earthquake, this split happen between spiritual communities and justice communities? Why are spiritual communities so invested in being apolitical? And why are justice communities so avoidant of magic and healing? What is the story? Because damn, we need to be talking about that something fierce. I will be sharing more about all of that in divine time. But for now, I will say, if you're someone who can't choose, won't choose, between your revolutionary commitment toward abolition and decolonization and justice, and the more your commitment grows to justice, the more fucking weird and magical and otherworldly you become, we need you. Do not water either parts of yourself down. We need you to step up and show yourself and share yourself in a way that makes sense to you. We need you to follow your heart, follow your spirit. We need you to not have to put aside justice for the sake of spirit. We need you to not put aside the justice embedded in your art. We need you to not put aside your art in service of justice. We need you to not water down the magic that your art is infused with, and we need it all to be revolutionary and political. Invest in yourself, those of you, those of us who cannot, will not choose between these sacred parts of ourselves. You deserve to develop your magic. You deserve to learn and grow and dismantle and share and teach in communities that will support you for who you are. Decolonizing dreaming, to me, means regarding the dream world as part of the land that we are here to steward. It's not a fake part of life. It's not just some weird thing that our subconscious makes up, even though sometimes it's some weird shit that our subconscious makes up. But truly, it is a part of the land that is caring for us that we're living with. Do you see the difference between how dream analysis asks us to engage in a kind of extraction of knowledge? Go into the mind and extract meaning from a part of the land instead of regarding yourself as a steward of the land who is tasked to understand, listen, care for, and tend to the land. Getting the answers in a sentence isn't as important as building more meaning, more understanding, more strength of relationship, respecting the sovereignty of the land, and also building more interconnectivity. Let's take one more visit to our previous episode called Don't Touch Me and apply today's conversation to the love story between Aries and Gemini. Like I said, this love story is about two people who are experiencing an enormous wave of attraction, literally the accumulation of multiple lifetimes and timelines and generations of searching for one another and preparing themselves to receive the love that they've been praying for. When they finally meet, the force of love and grief crashing them together is undeniable. And they're also fumbling through the everyday awkwardness and even discomfort of learning how to be touched again in all the ways. In this episode, Aries says, you know when you're talking over text or like multiple voice notes per day and there's like so much built up tension over the distance that you feel like, okay, the moment you're together in person, the physical passion is just going to explode. But she got here and it wasn't like that. Not that there wasn't attraction, but the attraction was off the charts, actually, but it was more like there's a force field around her. An orb. A shell. Something that's saying, don't touch me. There were moments where I felt we might have moved in closer and gotten physical, but right at that edge, her energy would pull back into itself. Later, Aries says, don't touch me. It goes real deep for you, doesn't it? What are you protecting? A story in the multiverse. If you haven't listened to that episode, Don't Touch Me, I encourage you to. What happens is that Aries sees this dream world. He goes into his third eye and he sees a very, very complicated story that lives somewhere in the quantum reality of this person he's falling in love with, Gemini. And this story explains why Gemini doesn't want to be touched. And that explanation is not something that you figure out in a sentence. You could literally write a novel and several think pieces about the vision of Don't Touch Me that Aries saw that day. The way that Gemini shows Aries her story, and the way Aries just welcomes it, watches it unfolds without judgment, this allows both of them to see hidden parts of one another, including the hard and the ugly. And that witnessing creates so much softness between them. It alleviates a little bit the uncomfortable edges around the awkwardness, and they're able to just meet each other where they're at, be vulnerable and open with each other. And oh shit, look at us talking about those eggshells again. The attraction was off the charts, but there was a force field around her, an orb, a shell. An egg that sang, don't touch me. I wrote that story in November or December of 2023, and I published it on April 18th, 2024. On May 6th, 2024, I dreamt about the broken eggshells. In this ongoing saga of how Shanga met her future partner, we have a little revelation. We have a little message here about divine timing. The eggshell just broke, people. The eggshell just broke. And if those broken eggshells are not just about me, if they're also speaking to what many folks are experiencing right now, if this is also something in our collective energy field, if this is a pattern that's part of a larger fractal that is a larger force of primordial ancestral healing moving through the entire globe, something in our collective field of our dreams just hatched open. That's big news, people. Stay tuned to Otherworldly Giants. Over the next month, I will be showing you and taking you through more examples of how I unlock my dreams, my daydreams, as well as my sleep dreams. This is all leading to our Ancestral Artist Retreat happening all online between June 3rd and July 5th, 2024. I did change the date. If you listened to our last episode, I mentioned that retreat would be held in May, but I did push it back to June. Don't worry, I won't change it again, I promise. My ancestors just really wanted me to shift things so that the retreat would fall during Pride Month, which is also my birthday month. This theme of unlocking our ancestral dreaming, as well as stewarding our dreams that are currently hatching and coming to life, will be a major theme for this artist retreat. Check out the link in our show notes. It has all the information you need. I would love to have you there if you are called to being there and experience our dreams coming alive together. Again, we're starting on June 3rd and going until July 5th. One last thing I wanted to mention. While I was writing this commentary, I decided to Google the fathers of dream interpretation. And of course, the two main white dudes that come up are Sigmund Freud and John Allen Hobson. So I Googled them and I was floored to see the first thing that came up. Their birth dates and their death dates. Hobson was born on June 3rd, 1933, and died on July 7th, 2021. Listen, I kept saying this to our first cohort of the Ancestors Writers Room, but you can file this on our ever-growing list of you can't make this shit up. First of all, you got a major 333 portal here. June 3rd, 1933. 333 is our number of the Ancestors' writer's room. In other words, it turns out it was about friendship. 333, all along. Hobson was 88 when he died. In other words, 2024. Add up those numbers. We are in the year of 8. And finally, June 3rd to July 7th is almost exactly the same dates of our ancestor artist retreat, which my ancestors made sure I shifted into that portal of time. So basically, the entirety of Hobson's life, the father of rational dream interpretation, his entire life of 88 years is acting as a fractal for our artist retreat during our year of 8. Sigmund Freud was born on May 6th and died on September 23rd. May 6th is the day of my dad's funeral 8 years ago. And September 24th is the day that my parents got married. That's their wedding anniversary. All together now, you can't make this shit up. Let me just say it clearly. This retreat that I'm hosting is holding the birth and death dates of the so-called fathers of modern-day psychotherapy and dream interpretation. What's the meaning of this? All right, here's the point in the ceremony where I'm going to give you my straightforward interpretation and analysis. This is the eggshell breaking, people. This is about the energetic grid of dreaming that has been confined in this trap of colonial over-intellectualized mentality that so deeply rests on fucking being rational. If you trace our obsession with rationality, you find the foundation of the Enlightenment period in Europe, which was the intellectual foundation of scientific racism, creating a foundation of anti-black racism that intellectually justified the stealing and colonizing of land, the stealing and enslavement of black people, the genocide of indigenous people, thus creating the conditions of our modern day capitalism and systems of hierarchy and oppression. This entire shell of how we think about our dreams is breaking open, and life and aliveness is being handed back to the ancestors, retrieved and remembered by the starseeds and the earth stewards. This is magic rising, rebirthing, learning to love again and be loved, learning to be held and touched, having survived when its survival was not guaranteed. For me to host this retreat, and for everyone joining, know that you are a part of this movement. We are part of this moment. This is the ceremonial space that is actively dismantling this level of empire. We are present in retrieving and remembering our ancestral wisdom traditions together, our ancestral ways of art making and dreaming that is so powerful that it just dismantles this old thing that we don't need anymore. Wow. Do you see what just happened by choosing to journey with these eggshells in my dream? All these layers of meaning came through, some intimate, some collective, some to just sit in reverence with. Yes, there was interpretation, there was analysis, but all of it was held by ceremony. And not just any kind of ceremony, but the ceremonial prowess of an ancestral artist. Thank you for tuning in, dear listeners. Remember to check out the links in our show notes to find our website, find all the info you need on our upcoming retreat, sign up to our mailing list, subscribe on YouTube, follow us on social media. If you appreciated this episode, please feel free to share it. If there are people you know who are looking for what we offer, please tell them. Rate and review this podcast. Do all the things. Thank you so much. We will see you next time. Until then, be brave, be a giant.